number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
All right, glad you can be with us on Yahoo Sports Radio as we are continuing our countdown to kickoff preview. The Baltimore Ravens tonight, Atlanta Falcons tomorrow. And we're three in. Now this will be four in already in the books. I love this time of year. Can't wait till it all really kicks in. And I'm not a preseason guy. Ugh, I am not a preseason guy. I don't like watching the games. I only watch them because I like the feel of football, but I don't really pay much attention. You know how many times I've gotten burned by that whole idea of like, oh, I'm going to watch my team and break them down to find out how good they are. And only to find out when the regular season starts, my team is crappy. Ugh. I never like, I don't sit down with a pad and paper and start going, well, I really like the route. Ugh, I don't do that. I treat the NFL like I treat college. The season starts when the season starts, and then I'll figure out my team from there. By the way, South Carolina is opening the year against Vanderbilt. If they lose, I'm going to jump off the roof of my house. I just got this weird feeling that game's going to be too close. Now I'm going to be pacing up and down the floor, panicking. You can't lose Will Muschamp's opening South Carolina game to Vanderbilt. Thank God I don't live in Nashville because I would be at that game screaming. I'm so down on this college football season.
Might as well fire him if he loses that game.
God, I know. I'm just
start back over.
I have a really good friend that we share Gamecock stuff with. You know, we talk shop a bit.
Right.
He is so high on Muschamp. I want to slap him. I want to. You know how like in the cartoon, wake up, snap out of it, and you dump like ice water on him, and because they're in a daze. Like that's what I really want. Like I really want to reach through Facebook and Twitter and just kind of smack him and dump ice water and wake up. This isn't you. What? Who cast the spell on you? Will Muschamp? I am watching with my arms stretched out. I thought it was a terrible hire. I know he recruits well, but it's going to be a long season. I've already conceded that my wife's team could have a really good year, and we'll sit back and enjoy Gator football. So, yeah. But I am looking forward to this football season. I tell you right now, did you see the games on opening weekend?
Yeah.
They are so good.
Yes.
They are so good. And I feel like we're in a new age of college football now where like teams are actually okay with booking a bunch of these things. It's like, nah, you know what? I'm not going to get burnt. That this is what the committee is looking for. They're looking for us to take some chances, and now we get some good matchups. I mean, really, let me just give kudos here to LSU. They're going to Lambeau Field to take on Wisconsin.
Yeah, that was one of those kind of home and home things. They played last year down here in Houston. So that's
good
it.
For them
yeah,
for
like that.
Booking that.
Right.
Like they normally would be like, how about this? It's a home and home again.
Right.
How's that?
Yeah.
We'll play you here. And then we'll play you here again. How's that?
How about you come to Baton Rouge twice?
How about you come to Baton Rouge twice, and then we'll talk about maybe us coming up to Yankee country. LSU's going to actually physically get on a plane and fly above the Mason-Dixon line for a football game to open up the season. Do you realize what I just said, how great that is? That is great. Alabama's going to Arlington to play USC.
I want to go to the Houston Oklahoma game down here at NRG.
Oh,
but I don't because I don't want to miss any of the other games.
I know, right?
I want to watch them all.
That's the danger.
I'll sit at home and drink beer and get about three TVs out and watch them all.
It's going to be a great opening day weekend.
Oh, it's
it is
awesome.
Going to be great. Alabama USC, I think, is really going to be interesting.
That is interesting.
That's really interesting.
USC has some real playmakers.
Let me say this: I would have really been impressed if Alabama actually, I don't know, went to California to play this game.
Yeah, they don't travel outside.
Had they done that,
like Dallas,
that would have really made me open my eye. But
maybe Kentucky? Maybe they go to Kentucky every other year, every few years.
Let me tell you what: people in Alabama go to Dallas and go, "Where's the ocean?" I thought we were already. Is this the West Coast? Where's the ocean? Where's the waves?
Where's
I thought
Hollywood?
I'm as far west as if I'm ever going to be here in Arlington, Texas.
Where's Hollywood at?
Yeah, Hollywood's got to be here. Where's the Chinese theater? Where's the sign? Because this is as far west as I've ever gotten. Disneyland's got to be around the corner. Because that's there's a bubble there. You're going to go outside that bubble.
No.
Tennessee went to Oregon one year. I was like, wow, good Lord. I think they also went to UCLA, but I don't think I was in Tennessee at the time that they did that. I was like, what? That is great. Florida never leaves the state of Florida open to see. That's the one thing. If I want to rile up my relatives when they're in town and we talk football, that's the one thing I will throw at Florida. They never leave.
Florida leaves the state like four times a year.
Yeah. I mean, listen to some of these games. I just got some of the SEC games open up the season. All right. Alabama's taking on USC and Arlington. We mentioned that. Okay. Auburn is facing Clemson of all teams. My God. I mean, what? Kill your season right now.
Right, exactly.
I mean, why bother? Why don't you just start off with a loss? But they get to play that game at Jordan-Hare Stadium, so God bless them. All right. Georgia's got to play North Carolina in Atlanta. North Carolina could score.
Yeah.
All right, so Georgia's playing North Carolina in Atlanta. Don't think that's a cakewalk.
I think North Carolina's favored, actually.
Yeah, North Carolina can score. LSU's, as we mentioned earlier, has got to go to Lambeau to take on Wisconsin. Who the hell booked Florida State and Orlando for Ole Miss to start the season?
Yeah, I know.
That guy should be fired.
Yeah.
Texas A&M is playing Josh Rosen in UCLA, okay? You know who Florida's playing to open up the season? I'm going to pick on him. I'm sorry. You know who Florida's playing? UMass. I didn't even know UMass had a football team.
I didn't either. I thought it was gone. I thought they canceled that football
team. UMass. Come on. I mean, really? Look at what
are they Division One?
That's why I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know what they are.
The SEC has been beaten up with an axe for that kind of game. Even when it's not justified. Even when I have pointed out year after year after year that, yes, Georgia took on Boise State when nobody wanted to play Boise State and lost to them. I've seen LSU play Oregon. I've seen Tennessee go out to, play UCLA. I've seen South Carolina go out of conference, open up the season to play NC State with Russell Wilson. I've seen the tough games. Florida is not the example we bring up when we say the SEC will play you some tough games in non-conference schedule to open up the year. Florida is not the example because they want to stay in Gainesville where it's hot and humid, and they want to basically pay out to people to come down and get their butts kicked so Florida can feel good about padding up their opening games. And you know what? A couple of years ago, I think they had Eastern Michigan in town, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember, but I think it was Eastern Michigan. And God was so furious, he threw a lightning storm down at Gainesville, and it cost them the game. They had to suspend the game, and they didn't reschedule it. And it cost them a game on their schedule. Play somebody. Come on. And don't give us, we play Florida State and the SEC. Yeah, you know what? We get it. But some other schools play some tough non-conference rivalry games, too. So chill out. Go find somebody else to play. Open up the season strong. Florida State is in a dangerous shape on Monday. On Monday, Labor Day, against Ole Miss. That is a dangerous game. Because here's what we've said all along about the college football playoff. They'll let you lose one. You better not lose two. Florida State could start out the gate losing to Ole Miss and Clemson. And that's it. That's it. Not to mention the tough games within the conference that they could subject themselves to. Plus, they could lose to Florida. Florida State, can I give props to the Seminoles here for a second? Florida State could have pulled the same argument. Florida State could have said, no, here's the deal. We already play Florida every year. That's a tough game for us. We've got Clemson. Our conference is tricky enough. We're going to chill out for a minute. They scheduled not only an SEC team, they scheduled one of the tougher SEC teams in the West. They could look, if you're going to book an SEC team, Florida State, might I suggest a fun little school called South Carolina in the city of Columbia. They'll be more than happy to get destroyed. And then you can claim, we didn't know they were going to be this bad when we booked their game. But please, these games are great. Absolutely great. And I just stuck with the SEC. I didn't even go to the other games there across the board that in the country that day. So that's coming up in a month. Can't wait for that. 800-777-2907. News of the night's coming up next. It is our look at some of the inside the headlines or some of the odd headlines that are making news. And then we've got the Major League Baseball wrap-up. Watch your predictions on the Baltimore Ravens. We will have that for you at the end of this hour. We've been doing that every single night, too, giving you our thoughts on the teams that we cover. As I said, it is not a difficult projection for the Ravens because health is really their concern. Not so much this quarterback or that running back that's an unknown quantity. But the Ravens, it's healthy. Be healthy. All right, coming up next, News of the Night. I am Tony D. It is Yahoo Sports Radio. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio and then follow us on Facebook, Tony D Radio Show. I promise not to disappoint. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio, News of the Night next.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, it is now time for News of the Night, but before we do that, let's get to Lori real quick, who probably wants to comment on something sooner related. What's up, Lori?
What's up, Tony D?
What is up? What is on your mind as we get closer to football season?
Yeah, well, I do have a question.
Yes.
I found out that Baker Mayfield, he gets to play this year and next year, correct?
That's right. The Mayfield rule has been kind of rescinded, I guess. Yeah. It was he was going to lose a year of eligibility, and now he will not.
Yeah, and you know what? I have been watching football for the last couple of years, and I've been watching football like 10 games a night.
What, old games?
Yeah,
good
old ones.
I saw
Mayfield and OU cream Texas Tech, and I saw. What's his name again for Tech?
Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, Kingsbury.
Yeah, I saw the look on his face. He wanted to cry.
Of course, but the look on his face is a good looking look. He is a good looking person. The women apparently love him.
So tell me something. I know our offense is supposed to be really good, but how about our defense?
What did Eddie Rzoshevich say? We asked him about that, didn't we? The defense is going to be better, but they lost some guys. I mean, they have to replace some guys.
They lost some guys, but they definitely have a lot of talent that was backing them up that got some playing time, if I remember correctly what he said.
Yeah.
They should be fine.
They should be fine. They should win the Big 12.
Yes, we got P. Ryan coming back. And who else we got coming back?
Who's Joe Mixon? If he's not being sued whatever the heck he's going through
Ross,
right now.
Ross is gone, right?
Yes.
Yes.
That sucks. Yeah. Anybody else besides
You're going to win the Big 12. You're going to win the Big 12.
Well, we better take it all the way.
That's the goal. I know in Oklahoma that's the goal, so.
So right, tell me about Matt Diamond. Did he get let go?
Well, I have to do that. I will do that after our News of the Night segment. So, but I will do that later. All right, thanks, Lori.
All right, thanks,
Matt. Appreciate it. Who did she say, Matt Diamond?
Yeah.
Am I looking up recruiting now or impact guys?
I'm not sure.
Right. Let's get back to News of the Night. Story number one.
Story number one. John Hinckley Jr. is being released.
No kidding. I heard about
time.
This.
Full time. I guess he was doing a little part time, like a few hours or a few days a week or something. It doesn't say exactly how much he was out, but it was a part time basis where he'd get out and live with his elderly mother. Well, now they're releasing him full time. He's going to be out. And he will live with his mother, who is in her 90s. He's 61. They say he's not a threat to himself or anybody else now.
It's amazing. When I was a kid, that was like the first. Let me say this. When you're a kid and you start learning a little history, one of the things you learn real quick in school is like Abraham Lincoln was assassinated and John F. Kennedy was assassinated. When Ronald Reagan got assassinated, I assumed all presidents got assassinated.
Yeah.
Like that's basically how I thought, because that was like the biggest deal. And it just didn't seem surprising that the president would be shot when you're a little kid and that's all you know. And so I remember coming home from school and like that was – huge news. And I remember the news anchor was like flipping out because he was getting wrong information about the health of the president. But yeah, that was a big deal, man. That was Ronald Reagan had just gotten into office, and John Inkley impressing Jodie Foster, it got him with a bullet.
The family is very upset. Is the word I would use.
I can only imagine.
Yes.
If you attempt to kill the president of the United States, I think forever is appropriate.
I saw so many tweets today being like, only in America can you shoot a president and get out years later, obviously.
Yeah, forever seems like a good amount of time.
That's a good term for shooting a president.
For shooting a president. So, yeah, wow, that is amazing. That is amazing. All right, story number two.
Story number two is just amazes me. Matt Damon is in the new Bourne movie, Jason Bourne movie. I believe it's called Jason Bourne, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
I'm not sure. But in the movie, he only says 25 lines. Roughly 25 lines. So
what?
25 lines, we'll say, is what this piece tells us.
Does he say, how about them apples in that fancy Boston accent of his?
I'm not sure, but he is making $1 million per line. He's getting paid $25 million for this movie.
That's great. And you know what? I bet there aren't very many people going, you know, teachers make a certain amount of money and police officers make a certain amount of money and he shouldn't be making that much money. I bet somehow actors get a pass, but athletes do not.
Right, yeah. Athletes play a game. Actors act.
Say lines and pretend to be somebody else, and they make more money reading lines than most people will make in five lifetimes.
It's incredible how much. Ugh. I mean, if they set their schedule up right, a movie star, they do 3-4 movies, they make like 70 plus million. The good ones make 70 plus million dollars a year.
Yeah, and when they go on location, they're like, okay, let's go, people. We're going to go on location. And the star, make sure he's as comfortable as he could possibly be.
Yeah.
Give him every piece of luxury he needs to make him happy. Let's go, people.
And a lot of times where they shoot these films, it's nice.
Yeah,
like Adam Sandler
locations.
Has set up Hawaii multiple times for his movies.
Oh, absolutely. When Adam Sandler makes a movie, he sits back and goes, where do I want to go on vacation?
Yeah.
Ah, let me go. South Africa. Yeah, I want to go there, buddy. Let's go. And they make a movie based on that. And they're like, Hawaii is a good place. Let me go to Hawaii. And they make a movie based on that.
Yeah.
And that's what he does. Takes him and his buddies, and they go on these massive vacations, and they make movies. Oh, Matt Damon, well done. $25 million to make this Bourne movie. That's great. All right, do you have time for story number three?
Yeah, I got a quick story number three.
Right.
Warren Sapp.
Oh, yeah.
Went lobster fishing, I guess, going to catch lobsters with a company, and he reached down to grab the lobster out of the water. Boom, little 4-foot shark bit him in the arm.
Oh, see, that would freak me out.
Yes.
I would freak out. Did he freak out, or is he like, nah, I took the shark and I beat him against a rock and then.
No, I guess the shark just swam away. I'm going to retweet.
Didn't like the taste of Warren Sapp,
I guess not. I guess not. I'm going to retweet it right now at Adam G. Sager. There's a picture of it. So if you don't want to see something that kind of looks gross, don't look at Twitter.
Oh, gosh.
But, yeah, there's just a little chunk of his right above his elbow that's taken out. And I guess they bandaged it, wrapped it in gauze, and then wrapped it in electrical tape and finished their expedition or whatever
Good
you call
for him.
It.
I would have been a big baby.
Yeah.
I would have cried, and then I would have screamed for my wife, and then I would have said, I'm never going near the water again,
right.
And I would be traumatized for the rest of my life. But good for him for saying, I'm going right back in that water, no problem.
He had no problem with it. They got back. He got some stitches, obviously, if you look at the picture, and he was good to go.
My niece saw a fin pop out of the water on a trip down the Gulf Shores about 5 or 6 years ago. Just a fin. We didn't know if it was a porpoise or a dolphin or a shark. But needless to say, we didn't go near the water for the rest of the week.
See, it's weird because when I was younger, I lived in Florida just for like a year. And I remember going out on our boat. We had a large boat and we went out and I'd jump in the water and there would be dolphins all around. And I remember seeing sharks and not being scared. Now I'm terrified of the water.
Terrified of them, yeah.
Maybe it's just because of the news here and we hear about alligators and sharks and octopus and whatever.
It's one thing about News of the Night. We're very wildlife oriented.
We are wildlife.
Because
that's all I tend to see.
Marine life oriented. That's right.
Everybody
that is very
true. Stories.
All right. Major League Baseball wrap up from Wednesday next.
on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, it is time to go around Major League Baseball and give you the rundown of what happened on Wednesday around the league. Miami crushing Philadelphia 11-1, despite the teams combining for 26 hits on the day. Giancarlo Stanton hitting his 22nd home run of the year for the Marlins. Washington defeated Cleveland 4-1. Daniel Murphy's got 20 home runs. I read somewhere, is he a free agent coming up next year? I don't know if that's true or not, but
no.
I thought I saw it. No,
I think he signed 339, if I'm not mistaken, with the Nats.
Okay. Well, too bad, because that would have been somebody.
Yeah, that would have been a hell of a year.
Yeah, he's really popping, let me just say that. Washington again beating Cleveland 4-1. Steven Strasburg is now 14-1. Hey, he's not 15-0, but he's 14-1. Golly. 2.68 ERA for him. The San Diego Padres doubled up Toronto 8-4. Padres hitting three home runs on the day. Wallace is sixth, Dickerson is sixth, and Rosales is seventh.
Have you seen what the Padres are in the middle of right now?
No. What are the Padres in the middle of right now?
They have hit a home run in 25 straight games.
Oh, really?
Yes, they're too shy of the major league record.
Of all the teams this year that could push for that record, the 44-win exactly. San Diego Padres have that mark?
Exactly.
Not these slugfest teams like that we've been counting on every single night? The San Diego Padres are the ones?
Yeah, it's like name two Padres right now on the team. Will Myers is all I can come up with.
Yeah, Will Myers is all I can come up with.
Because they just traded Melvin Upton.
Yeah.
Oh, Matt
Adam
Kemp,
Rosales.
I forgot about Matt
Kemp. And I'm just looking him up now. And Alec Dickerson and Brett Wallace. There you go. Those are the guys who hit home runs tonight. The Red Sox hit like seven a night. They don't have this record?
Nope.
God. Detroit beat Boston 4-3. Miguel Cabrera hit a home run in the top of the ninth. The Red Sox couldn't come back in this one. They do get home runs from Dustin Pedroia and Xander Bogaerts. But the Tigers complete the three-game sweep of the Red Sox at Fenway Park. The Tampa Bay Rays beat the LA Dodgers 3-1. Evan Longoria hit his 23rd home run of the year, and Matt Moore got the win. He goes to 7-7. Alex Colome with the save is 22nd of the year as they split the two-game series in Southern California. Jay Bruce with his 25th home run of the year for the Cincinnati Reds. They defeated San Francisco 2-1. Drew Straley with the win. He goes to 6-6. Joey Votto had two hits for Cincinnati. The Rockies take 2 of 3 from Baltimore. They win 3-1, and they scored all of their runs in the sixth inning. Nick Hundley had a 2-run homer for the Rockies. David Dahl, a solo shot. John Gray, he's having a good year for the Rockies. 1 run over 7 innings. He is 7-4. Yeah, I know the Rockies aren't that great, but 7-4 on a not-so-great team, that's a pretty good year for John Gray. Pittsburgh destroyed Seattle 10-1. They outhit the Mariners 14-3. Andrew McCutchen, I believe, had a three-run homer. Yeah, three-run homer in the eighth inning. He drove in four. Jung-ho Kang had four RBIs as well, and Garrett Cole, the complete game win, giving up 1 run over with 6 strikeouts, going to 6-6. The St. Louis Cardinals beat the New York Mets 5-4. This was significant because the Cardinals hit 2 RBI doubles in the top of the ninth to pull away from the Mets. And Jerry's Familia blew this save for the first time in 52 appearances. So the Cardinals get 2 out of 3 coming back in this game. Yoenis Cespedes hit his 22nd home run of the year for the Mets. Let's see here. The Cubs beat the White Sox 8-1. Yeah, Addison Russell had a grand slam. Chris Bryant hit a home run. Javier Baez hit a home run. But Aroldis Chapman came in and got the save, or what was he? Not a save, but he was just his appearance,
yeah, he just
right?
Pitched in it.
He doesn't get a save in an 8-1 victory. But you know what? He showed off for the people at Wrigley Field. How about that? So he comes in, and everybody in Chicago stood up, took pictures, did all the things that they do, and the Cubs win this one 8-1. The Oakland A's beat Texas 6-4. Chris Davis hit 2 home runs of the year. Coco Crispin is 9th. Ian Desmond is 20th as the A's win 6-4. Chris Davis hit 3 home runs at one point this season, correct?
Yes, he did. Yep.
Good. You know what? One day he should hit 4 and go for the cycle.
He should.
He should. The Arizona Diamondbacks beat Milwaukee 8-1. I'm sorry, but Tomas again hit two home runs. This is like the fifth time I feel like I've said that this year.
Yeah, he's putting them together in bunches.
Yeah, he is putting together in bunches. The Atlanta Braves beat Minnesota 9-7. Eh. But I did want to bring up Freddie Freeman. He went 4-for-4 in this game, had a home and an RBI. Listen, there's hitting the cycle, and then there's doing what Freddie Freeman almost did tonight. Freddie Freeman went 4-for-4. He had a home run, which is an RBI. He had an RBI double, and he had two RBI singles. So basically, every hit he had was an RBI. If he had just turned one of those into a triple, that would have been fantastic. Jeff Francoeur, his sixth home run of the year. Braves stink. The Houston Astros avoided the sweep to the New York Yankees. They went 4-1 at Minute Maid Park. Colby Rasmussen, his 12th home run of the year. Lance McCullers struck out 10. Harris with the save, his 11th. Brian McCann provided the only run for the Yankees, his 15th home run of the season. The Kansas City Royals defeated the LA Angels 7-5. And for Kansas City, they scored four runs in the seventh, added two more in the eighth. Gerard Dyson with an RBI triple, and Paulo Orlando had an RBI double. So there you go, your night in Major League Baseball. A number of teams were, kicking it around, and we'll have a lighter day tomorrow in Major League Baseball. But there you go, your wrap-up. All right, 800-777-2907. I saw the shark bite on Warren Sapp's arm. That's disgusting.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely disgusting. Let me just tell, Warren Sapp now has my respect, at least in this capacity. I would have ran to the doctors. I retweeted it. It's at Adam G. Sager. Check it out. This is gross, if you like gross things. It's a gash on his arm, and it's not like a little nick. This thing is a chunk of flesh out of his arm. It's barely holding on. He's showing this off as if he's not passing out, needing massive medical attention immediately. Why wouldn't you run to the doctors to get that stitched up? Electrical tape? Some gauze? Get right back in the salt water? I would have ran to the hospital. This gash is too big to just be left alone. But you know what's cool? He'll have a really cool scar to show everybody when he's 85 years old. Because that thing's going to last forever. I cut my hand on a broken coffee cup when I was 15 years old as a dishwasher at a restaurant. I still have the scar. I still show my kids. I'm like, yeah, that's the coffee cup cut from when I slipped and fell. And then coffee cups were broken and it gouged my hand. And there wasn't enough padding on the floor, so a slippery spot was not taken care of. And I didn't think to call a lawyer at 15. Because that's not what you do, apparently. I would have now, but not back then. But that is really amazing. That is a really, really deep gash for Warren Sapp. Now I definitely... By the way, my wife asked me something because she said that somebody in Tennessee was putting on an event. Or maybe it was Illinois. I'm sorry if I get the states wrong. Somebody was putting on an event where they were doing a night drive-in, but it was by this lake or like this pond, and you would get in an inner tube. And you would sit in the inner tube and you would watch Jaws late at night on a jumbo screen, like a drive-in movie theater. And my wife asked me if I would do this. And I said, well, yeah, I would do this because I know there's no sharks in the pond. But I got to be honest with you, if it's late at night and I'm on a raft and it's dark and the only thing I'm watching is a movie about a shark eating people from below, I think I could freak out a little bit on that.
Like, I would definitely freak out.
If you didn't get out of the water and made it to the end of the movie, I think they gave you a T-shirt. Which I got to be honest with you. I think I want to try it, but I think I'd freak out a little bit. As long as nobody was like, hey, I have an idea. Let's get some divers to swim underneath the people and like poke them and while they're in the inner tube.
Do you have to, can you sit in the inner tube where like your feet are up and you're kind of laying back? Or I wonder if you have your feet in the water.
Yeah, like, I think your feet are end up going to be in the water. And doesn't that put your... derriere in the water, so that might freak people out too.
Yeah, I guess. But I just think if my feet, like if I'm basically standing in the inner tube and my feet are down in the water and my body's down in the water, I'm freaking out more. I'm not making a few jaws.
Oh yeah. No. If I'm hanging on, you're right. If I'm hanging on the inner tube and my whole body is pretty much submerged and my feet are kicking and moving. Yeah, that freaked me out. If I'm laying in the inner tube with my behind in the middle and right. I'm leaning back with my legs kind of propped up, maybe I wouldn't feel so freaked out. But and just for kicks, they unleashed a whole bunch of great whites just to see what would happen. Oh, my goodness.
Crazy people.
Crazy people. All right, coming up, our final predictions for the Baltimore Ravens for 2016. We'll have that for you next in our Countdown to Kickoff preview, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, continuing through the night. The PGA Championship starts Thursday morning at Baltusrol in New Jersey. I was there today, and a Wednesday, I should say, and I find it fascinating that people will sit in a grandstand and watch a player practice, hit golf balls to practice. Now, you may say, yeah, but we go to batting practice. So we get to the ballpark early to watch batting practice, or we'll watch shoot around in an NBA game. Yeah, I understand. But when you watch batting practice, right, what are you hoping to see? Let's be honest. Are you hoping to see, he had a couple of really good hit line drives? No, you kind of want to see him hit some home runs in batting practice, right? When you go to a shoot around or you're watching a shoot around in the NBA, yeah, maybe Steph Curry takes a half-court shot. Maybe they do something silly. Maybe you see how many they make. I watched Jordan Spieth because my daughter loves him and wanted to watch him practice. I watched Jordan Spieth hit pitching wedges, and I was so bored I couldn't get my eyes off. I was like, another really good hit, I think. I just was whack. I was like, But my daughter couldn't get enough. She loves him, and she really wanted to watch him hit. But you know what I found the difference of that is? When I go to an NFL game and I watch Peyton Manning, for example, throw 40-yard passes in warm-ups or 50-yard passes in warm-ups, or I see an NFL kicker try to make a 60-yarder in warm-ups or whatever, I don't say to myself, I wonder what techniques I could use watching them to help my professional football game or help my kicking game. I just marvel that they're professional athletes and they do something special and that something that I can't do. Same with basketball. Like, I don't watch Steph Curry hit threes and go, it looks like his elbow is in. Maybe when I hit threes, my elbow should be a little bit more in. But my God, you watch professional golfers practice and guys talk about this all over the place. It doesn't matter whether it's on the range, chipping, putting, anything. They all talk about, hey, you know what, that guy, I noticed his putter goes like to the inside, then comes to the outside, man. Yeah, I know. I have trouble with that. Like, I get to the outside first and move to the inside. Oh, yeah, like chipping. Look at the way they hit the ball so low. I got to try that, try to get more spin on the shots. No, they're professional golfers. We're weekend hacks. Even if we're close to scratch, we're still 5 or 6 shots worse than these guys. For whatever reason, whatever they're doing, they're able to do it with a high-speed swing. If that club can hit that ball at only a fraction of an inch with a perfect alignment, that's what they can do, swinging it 120 miles an hour. Because that's what they do. So I find it just marveling. Like, look how fast they swing. Look how far the ball goes. I don't watch a professional golfer go up. His right hand is like a half an inch higher than his left hand. I better try that next time I go play at my $25 Muni. And one of the things that I can't get enough of when I go to a PGA Tour event, I can't get enough of the course. I just cannot. I cannot get enough of the course. Drives me crazy. All right, we got to do predictions for the Baltimore Ravens to close out this hour. As I said, and we've been previewing them all night tonight, this is a team that if you thought they were a playoff team last year going into the season, you probably think they'd be a playoff team this season. Last year, riddled with injuries, they went 5-11 because they were hurt all over the place. Same kind of team, plus or minus a couple of guys, though Mike Wallace is going in. And that is why my prediction for the Baltimore Ravens, I think they're going to go 10-6. I think they'll go 10-6. I'm leaning towards 9-7, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and go 10-6. That's my prediction.
My prediction, I'm going 8-8. I think they're the third best team in that division. I still think they're a good team. And I just don't know that they're there. I don't trust Terrell Suggs, who is supposed to be their best defensive player. I don't trust him coming back off an Achilles at that age. He may come back and have a great stretch of football, but consistently over 16 games, I don't even know that he makes it.
Yeah, 33 years old coming back from an Achilles injury is troublesome.
It's hard to do when you're 24, let alone 33, and you've played football for 10 plus years where you're banged up anyways. So
take a chance on Mike Wallace. I think he's going to rebound. I think he's going to have a good season. I hope he does anyway. He'll keeps his mouth shut and stops whining. But if he doesn't, I think he's going to have a good season for the Ravens.
The other thing that scares me is they have an offensive line that's young with Ronnie Stanley, and they're trying to piece it together with a guy like Jake Long. And I just don't know, especially with the quarterback coming off a knee injury. If he's got guys at his feet, he's going to get a little jumpy and just start throwing that ball away real quick.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about with the injuries. When you have teams that are coming back healthy, they're never really fully healthy because there's always that factor of getting a little gun-shy, being a little nervous. I mean, look, if I'm Joe Flacco, I could love Ronnie Stanley to death, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to be a little concerned that a rookie is protecting my blind side at the tackle position. I mean, I may think he's a Pro Bowl player in the second he arrives, and I'd still be nervous.
I do like their secondary, though.
I like their second. I like Jimmy Smith and Eric Weddle.
Smith,
right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I like Webb.
I think there's something like 10-6 may be a little optimistic on my part because I like the 10-7, but I'm going to stick by this one. I'm not going to waver in the last second. I'm going to go 10-6, 8-8, 10-6. That's about where they should.
I've just noticed. I'm sitting here looking at the records that we've done. We've done four so far. You've got two NFC teams because I go every other. Throughout our schedule. So we've got the Rams and the Lions. You've got both going 5-11, and you've got the Jets and the Ravens going 10-6.
Ah, that's right. Yeah. Okay. I better start. You know what? I better start figuring out what I'm predicting because I don't want to wake up and you tell me you have 13 teams going 10-6.
I still haven't picked a team to go over 500 yet. So.
Yeah. Like, you know, Tony, somebody's got to stink. Okay. Not everybody can be awesome. Not everybody is optimistic and going to right. play very well. Start picking some 8-8s and some 6-10s because it's coming. All right. Coming up in the next hour, TJ Claire will join us to preview the PGA Championship. We'll get the Jets, Ryan Fitzpatrick stuff. We'll also talk a little bit about my experience at the PGA. The replay's coming up next. I am Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.